You can never have real restoration without true repentance. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell gives us a glimpse into the heart of a loving Heavenly Father.
Too many times I've seen it over the years, some folks don't always feel comfortable in a Bible preaching church, but the fact of the matter is I see folks that live out in that life of sin, and then they put on their tie or their dress and they come into church and they want a high five and act like nothing has happened. I want to tell you, my friend, sin quenches God the Father. This is the time to make things right with God. Don't wait another day, my friend.
Jesus used parables both to reveal and to conceal truth. But what made these stories such powerful teaching tools? And how are these well-known stories supposed to impact our lives today? Our series entitled, The Parables of Jesus, helps answer these questions and many more. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series is designed to help us grow deeper in our relationship with God by exploring 11 of the greatest stories Jesus ever told. Right now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with a message called Real Restoration.
Every family will experience some type of turmoil or trial. Sometimes I have seen trials in family that were no problem or fault of their own. It was just something that came into their life. But other times we have trials that are the direct result of the rebellion of our own hearts and the disobedience of our own hearts concerning the things of God. And sometimes the problems are marital problems. I heard of a pastor who was talking to a fourth grade boys class, and he said, "Boys, why don't you give me a good verse on the subject of marriage?" And one boy raised his hand and he said, "I have one. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I've met some folks like that, and it seems like they weren't really operating according to the Scripture. Sometimes we see the turmoil in the marital realm. Sometimes we see the turmoil in the extended family as well. And in this passage before us, Luke chapter 15, there is really a trilogy of parables. We see in this passage the sheep that has gone astray. This represents sinners that in their own stupidity, like the sheep, go astray. And then we see the coins that sometimes are lost by the carelessness of others. But the Son illustrates those who are lost by their own willfulness. By their own willful pride, they get out of the will of God. You know, one of the things I love about the Bible, it gives to us a realistic portrayal of life. In other words, even the great families of the Bible had challenges and difficulties in their life. And the Bible doesn't gloss that over. The Bible doesn't make it sound like every member of Lot's family or every member of Noah's family or every member of David's family was some perfect individual. The Bible tells us that all of these families had their ups and downs. But whenever you read about a down time in a family life, you're going to find pride somewhere very, very close. You're going to find rebellion to authority. You're going to find somewhere very, very close that instead of serving others, a selfishness had come into the place. I don't know where your family is today, and I don't know what your heart towards God is today. But I know that in this parable, God wants to teach you and teach me the principles of how to rebuild and restore and how to strengthen a family according to the will of God. Notice, if you will, this morning, the breaking of family fellowship. Oh, how tragic to read the words beginning in verse number 12. Here we see a family that was united now being divided. And we see in verse 12, the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. You see, family turmoil always begins with rebellion. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When someone is in a spirit and state of rebellion, it is as if they are under a satanic delusion. They are going hard in a direction, many times not recognizing the tragedy that is being left in their wake. I see oftentimes teenage daughters rebelling at their fathers. I see it in the way they look and walk and in the way they act. And in the promiscuity of their lives, they're rebelling against the teachings of their home. I see it in the lives of young men. I see it in the way they dress and act and walk and saunter about and speak to their mother and their father in a disrespectful way. It's a spirit of rebellion that often leaves hurt and mayhem in the wake. And I want you to see the breaking of family fellowship. It comes very clearly in the scripture in this family as Jesus tells the parable of the prodigal son. Notice how it began first with a focus on self. It begins when a family member begins to focus on themselves and not on the others in the family. The Bible says that this young man said, Father, notice that in verse 12, Father, give me, give me. Now we know, according to the Jewish law, that this son had a right to a particular portion. He had a legal right to his portion. But we also know that he was only thinking about himself. His only desire was self-gratification. He said, Father, I want what is mine now. And sometimes a child can place a parent in this type of position. I've heard parents in our own church say, well, what do you do? He's kind of an adult now. And as if he's holding you or she's holding you hostage to do something for them or allow them to do something. And by the way, moms and dads, all children come to an age where they have more and more autonomy, but a spiritual child will always welcome your counsel and your input. And they'll want to say, I need your counsel in the matter, but not this child. There's no counsel involved. He simply says, give me. There was a focus on himself. And turmoil begins when self-centeredness enters into the heart of a child, and may I say, a husband or a wife. Whenever self-centeredness comes to a relationship, problems are just around the corner. I want you to notice from Isaiah 14 where this spirit comes from. This idea of give me mine and I want my right place. It began in the times of the past when the great battle spiritually took place. According to the Word of God, the Bible says that Lucifer rose up and the rank of angelic beings that were under his influence rose up against God Almighty. Notice if you would Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. May I say this morning that pride is very subtle as it sinks into our heart. Do you realize that we can say things that sound like good things, but if they are of our own will and of our own selfish desire, then they may not be what God wants. Someone may say, I am going to build a great family. I am going to build a great business. I've read many different books that are filled with humanism, and many of you in your training at work have come under this more so than you realize. The concept of, I'm going to do this, and I can think this way, and I can have what I want, and many financial seminars, I'm going to go out and make this kind of money. I read in the Bible where Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. You see. But that's not the spirit of the age. Satan said, I will ascend. I will exalt my throne, you see. And that spirit in the prodigal son was not a spirit of humility. It was not a spirit of whatever God's will is. It was a spirit that said, I will have it my way. He was an uncaring young man. He was an unthankful young man. And those of you who understand the heart of a father understand that this son literally was taking more than the substance of his father. He was taking the life of his father. He was breaking the heart of his father, never thinking twice of the sacrifice and the labor that the father had given to build up this estate. Never thinking twice of all of the days of hard labor and sacrifice and prayer and wisdom and all that it had taken to bring the family to this point. This son was focused on himself and himself alone. And this matter of pride will ruin a relationship. Moms and dads, be careful that in your quest to become something or have something in life, that you do not ruin your own family. My friend, I'd rather live in a cardboard box in Tijuana and know that I'm in the center of the will of God and have a family that loves God than to have the most palatial surroundings the world has to offer. There is nothing greater than having a life and a family that humbly loves the Lord Jesus Christ. May we never allow pride as adults to hurt our children. And may you teenagers this morning not allow pride as a child to bring disunity and hurt the heart of your father and of your mother. Focus on self. Notice, secondly, there was the failure to honor parents. The failure to honor his parents. He says, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth on me." Never one time does he seek his father's advice. Never one time does he say, "Father, what do you think about this?" Never one time. I thank God today for the fact that we have many children in this church who seem to seek the counsel of their fathers and mothers. Not all. But you young people, it's a wonderful thing that you would have in your heart a desire to honor your father and mother. This is Bible. One of my daughters came to me this week and she had on a lovely outfit. She had on a top that was fairly modest. It just it had more of a sleeveless nature to it. And she said to me, and I didn't ask her to come to me. She just came and said, "Dad, what do you think about this? Would you think this would be appropriate for such and so occasion?" And I said, "Well, sweetheart, since you asked, I personally would not think that would be the best." And she said, "All right, then I won't wear it." End of discussion. End of discussion. Young ladies, young men, you have a mother and a father. And you may think you know everything about hairstyles and dress styles and what time to stay out. But I say to you that when you fail to honor your parents, you fail to honor God. And God has given you a mother and a father for a purpose. And that purpose is that you might seek their counsel. And this young man never sought the counsel of his father. He just went in and said, "I want what is coming to me." But my Bible still says in Exodus 20 and verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Oh, listen, the Bible says when we honor our parents that God is well pleased. Notice, if you will, thirdly, that there was not only the focus on self, not only the failure to honor parents, but thirdly, the forsaking of his family. The forsaking of his family. Oh, notice in verse 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with a riotous living." I was counseling with a man not long ago. He said, "Brother Chapel, I have a 17-year-old son." And he started hanging around with a 19-year-old boy. And they began to play games in their bedroom. And they began to get involved with these Dungeons and Dragons. And then on the internet met some people who also did it. He said, "We didn't know a lot of this was going on until he ran away from home. We found the rock and roll music, the heavy metal. We saw the pornography under the bed. We didn't even know that this 19-year-old boy was influencing our boy until they went several counties away and into another state where they met up with some friends." He said to me, "Pastor Chapel, pray that my son will come back." Moms and dads, you ought to know who your children's friends are, and you ought to know where your children are, and you ought to know what games they're playing. And I'm saying, this young man said, "I want what I want, and I'm going to go where I want to go." And the Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 8, "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." And young people, this morning, God has given you a family, and whether whether you're a single mom or dad or whatever your family is today, whether you're a blended family, I'm going to tell you something. God has put authority into the life of the children to be like a nest to the birds, a place of safety and a place of comfort and a place of help. And the devil wants to destroy that by bringing rebellion into the heart of a young person. The Bible says that this young man went into a far country, and there he wasted his substance. He wasted his life. And I want to say this morning, if you are not living for Jesus Christ, you are wasting your life. I didn't say if you're not a preacher or serving in ministry. I said if you're not living for Christ. My friend, you can be a gas station attendant and live for Jesus Christ. But this young man wasn't living for Jesus. He was living for himself. You see, there's only two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self. And this man took the lower shelf. He said, I'm going to serve me. I'm going to go where I want to go. Proverbs 23, verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Oh, I thank God for young people in the Bible and young people in this day who take their stand and stand with God. I think of Moses of old in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. You know the story. He was in Egypt land, and there he was in what is considered to be a type of the world and worldliness. And Moses could have had prominence in that place. Many of you teenagers perhaps could have prominence. Perhaps you could be in a rock and roll band. Perhaps you could be the coolest guy in the gang. Perhaps you could have the greatest score on some internet game. I suppose that could be the case. But Moses said, I'm not going to identify with this world. I want to identify with my God and with the things of my God. And the Bible says there in Hebrews 11, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Oh, do you see it here in the Word of God? Here's a young man who said, I'm not going to forsake my family. I'll be true to what I have been given. I choose to identify with the things of God more than the things of this world. Teenagers today, the world's calling out to you, and they're telling you how to dress and how to act and how to walk, and they're telling you even how to live your private life concerning the moral issues of the day. But I want you to know you have a God who loves you and parents who love you, and I want to challenge you, though it might seem embarrassing, go ahead and identify with your parents. Go ahead and kiss your mom in front of all those big old friends over on the curb there. Tell her you love her. Give your dad a bear hug. Don't act like you don't know him when you're in public. Moses said, I'd rather identify with my Lord. I'd rather identify with the people of God than the people of this world. Oh, the danger of sin is seen here. Notice what it says. This young man, the Bible says in verse number 13, he wasted his substance in riotous living, an abandoned, dissolute life. He was living a life filled with sin and wickedness, a life. And by the way, we might talk about the John Belushis and the Rock Hudsons and all of the rest of those of the world who wasted their lives, and perhaps the Marilyn Monroes and others. But I want to tell you, every life is precious to God, whether it's a celebrity or not. God doesn't want anybody wasting their life. He gave life that it might be given to him. John was very clear, and the Apostle Paul as well in Romans 13:13, he says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof. Here this man lived a wandering life. Here he lived a lustful life. Luke verse 15, chapter 15 and verse 30 says, but as soon as thy son was come, the elder brother said, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Do you understand? This young man went farther perhaps than he ever thought he would go. And by the way, sin will always take you farther than you thought it would take you. James 4 and verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? We see this morning the breaking of family fellowship, and we see it happen because of the focus of self, and it happened because of a selfish spirit. Give me what I want, forsaking the counsel of mother and father. This young man broke the unity of his family because of the pride in his heart. But notice, if you will, secondly, the basis for family restoration. I don't know that I need to preach much longer about family disunity. You've seen it. Perhaps you've experienced it. Perhaps there's a member of your own family today off in some wayward place drinking the alcohol and perhaps living his riotous life. You've seen it. You know what it looks like today. But what's the road back? How do you see the puzzle come back together? Notice, if you would, the basis for family restoration begins with the realization of sin. God is calling on men and women today to call sin, sin. And I am amazed at how oftentimes the prodigals of this world, whether they're 17 or 72, rationalize what they're doing, and it's just guy's day or gal's day, or just it's just the way that I... No, the Bible calls it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The Bible calls it hedonism. The Bible calls it materialism. The Bible calls it pluralism. God says that when you do this, this is not just how you have some relaxation. God says it is still sin. And I can just hear that prodigal as he sat up in the bar and said, oh, I needed a reprieve from my dad. I mean, he was so restrictive, and he wanted me to work so much, and he had so many rules, and I just need to have a little cold one to kind of knock off the edge. I mean, every sinner has a rationalization for his sin. You're not going to get back with your family. You're not going to see God bless your life until you realize that the way you are living is the way of the sinner. The Bible is clear in verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And by the way, it always does. Sometimes it takes having less, and sometimes it takes pain and difficulty. You see, my friend, the answer is not in a newly elected official. The answer is in repenting and coming back to Almighty God. And the famine came to the land, and it was a difficult time. And the Bible says that he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields of the swine. The Bible then says in verse number 16, he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto himself. But I love this phrase, verse 17, and when he came to himself. Would you say that with me, please? And when he came to himself. You see, and hear me. The guy with his cold one in his hand and his dirty joke and his loud talk and his loud motorcycle, and I'm not against you if you have a motorcycle. I am against the beer in the hand, the loud talk, and the other woman. But the fella that is in that moment of worldliness and in that spirit of rebellion, what you are seeing in that moment is a man who is delusional.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled, The Parables of Jesus. Friend, if you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Or you can visit our website at dailyintheword.org and click on the Truth About Eternity link. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. You can also visit lancasterbaptist.org for a list of other services. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
If you've ever wanted to travel to Israel and tour the steps of Jesus in the Holy Land, you have an amazing opportunity coming next year. On September 28th through October the 7th, 2015, I'm teaming with Templeton Tours to host a 10-day expedition of the Holy Land that will be full of both inspiration and instruction. There's no better way to tour biblical sites than with a professional guide and alongside good Christian friends. You'll visit Mount Carmel, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, and a dozen other sites. There's also an optional 2-day church history tour in England at the end of our trip on October 7th through the 9th. If you're interested in this very unique opportunity, contact Templeton Tours at 1-800-334-2630. That's 1-800-334-2630, or visit templetontours.com. For your gift donation to Daily in the Word, I would like to send you a copy of my newest book entitled Paid in Full. It's my gift to you for your financial support of this ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word here on Daily in the Word.
That was Pastor Paul Chappell with Daily in the Word. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books, including Out of Commission. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.